May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. So, All Saints Day, right? What is it that comes to your mind when you hear that word saint, right? For most of us, we tend to think of saints as people who are particularly good and holy and have led lives worthy of replication, right? It was all right there in our collect of the day, right? Originally, the word that gets translated in our Bible as saint was used by the Apostle Paul in his letter to the church in Rome in the sense that all of those who are called to participate in divine holiness are saints. Essentially, it's synonymous with the word Christian. Saints, Christians, same thing in the Bible. But by the third century, the word saint was beginning to be restricted to just a few people who had demonstrated some heroic stance in their life. These heroes were believed to have entered directly into the company of heaven at their death. The ancient church experienced martyrdoms frequently in those days, and if you were one of those who actually did pay the ultimate price for adhering to your faith, sainthood could be a status bequeathed upon you by the church. Now, you know, we in the Episcopal Church, we haven't actually created any saints. We have accepted what the Bishop of Rome, you know, the Pope, the Roman Catholic Church, we've accepted what they've put forth and their calendar of things. We've changed things a little bit here and there, but we haven't sainted anybody as a church. That's what we left up to the RC. Particularly, saints' days are all over our church calendar, right? There are patron saints for all kinds of things, and usually they're associated with some aspect of the saint's life that we magnify. Now, we're all familiar with Matthew, right, the writer of our first gospel. We identify him with Levi, the tax collector. So guess what? He's the patron saint of accountants. Yeah, just because of the fact that he's dealing with money. I imagine he's probably the patron saint of tax collectors too, but I don't think anybody wants to say that that's what they are, right? Isidore of Spain. Now, when I went to college at Kansas State, the Catholic church that was right across the street from the campus was called St. Isidore's. And I didn't know who Isidore was, but he was a farmer. He was a man of the land. So he is considered to be the patron saint of farmers. But get this. He was also a scholar with quite a good file of encyclopedic knowledge. So, and I kid you not, he has also been proclaimed as the patron saint of the internet. And you know, everything you see on the internet is true, right? Yeah, no, But anyway, brewers, you know, brewers of beer, they have several patron saints. You know, one of them is Augustine of Hippo. And if you're familiar with Augustine of Hippo, before he became a Christian, he was quite the partier. And so, yeah, so his conversion from a lifestyle of partying to piety bequeathed upon him. They took him on. Also, Hildegard of Bingen, who is she's kind of a hero of mine, a mystic of a German abbess and mystic. In her writings, she talked about the use of hops, using hops for beer, and so consequently, there's several patron saints of beer. There are patron saints for brides, for bricklayers, for bus drivers, for butchers, for brush makers, bridge builders, box makers, and yes, even sufferers of bowel disorders. That's St. Bonaventure, in case you were wondering, if you're an IBS person. And that's just in the B's, right? Well, today is All Saints Day, right? And this is a little different because in the Episcopal Church, what we do is we lump everybody together today. It's like we don't necessarily take the time out every Saints Day that comes along in our calendar, but we do have today, right? Today's All Saints Day is dynamic in that it begins with a celebration of our forebears in faith, but both those who have preceded us in their eternal reward and those whom we continue to tarry with in this earthly realm. Now, it is a pause. If you think about it, we're still in the season after Pentecost, right? Pentecost was that celebration we had back in late May, early June, right? 50 days after Easter. We're still in Pentecost, not for much longer. But what are we celebrating? The Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit works out in our lives, manifested on Pentecost Sunday and still even today. And what we're doing is reconnecting with all of that. We honor both those who've gone before us and we honor who we truly are. It's a celebration of both who we are and whose we are. If you didn't catch my sermon here last week, I don't even realize this, but I preached a totally different sermon at the 10 o'clock service last week. But I didn't record it. I only recorded the one I did for y'all. But that was like the main point of my whole thing there. Remember who you are and whose you are. Yeah. But who we are is saints, okay? This is what Paul called us. Now, we might not include it in the name of our church. You know, there's a church out there that actually calls themselves the church of such and such and such saints, right? Well, for us, the words saint and Christian are supposed to be synonymous, right? They're supposed to mean the same thing. But you know what we do? We tend to use the word saint as the opposite of another word. What's that word? Yeah, exactly. Saints and sinners, right? It's like, oh, you gotta be one, you gotta be the other, right? And to be truthful, and we all know this, we're both. We're both. Yeah, we are both at the same time because we live both in the here and now, but because of the resurrection of Christ, we live with a foregleam of eternity firmly embedded in our being. Now, I hope you have a favorite saint. One of the things that's going to happen at the 10 o'clock service today is all the kiddos are going to share who and why their favorite saint is. Should be interesting, so I invite you to catch that on the YouTube feed. I have a favorite saint as well, and you may or may not have heard him, Oscar Romero. Anybody heard of Oscar Romero? Yeah, one, just two of you, huh? Wow, not very many of you. Oscar, he only got beatified about, I don't know, 20 years ago with something like that. Who he was the Archbishop of San Salvador in the late 70s. And when the Catholic Church was, you know, dealing with their presence in Central America, frequently they came up against, they had to be in league with some pretty foul people who were in charge, and there was a military government in charge in the country of El Salvador. And so Archbishop Romero, when he got elevated to Archbishop, he was considered by the Catholic Church to be a safe choice. He was considered to be a very bookish man who, it's like, he's not going to make waves, he's just going to keep things easy for us. And when I traveled to El Salvador. When was that? About 20 years ago, actually. I got to see his, they've memorialized, of course, at the place where he did his study. Lived in a very small hut, basically, and saw his study area and also the church where he celebrated Mass. There was conflict in the country, in El Salvador, and it involved this military junta that was in charge, and then there's the poor and the dispossessed people. Oscar Romero had a conversion of sorts. He had a close friend, he was a priest, who was very much an outspoken critic of the military government, and this friend and fellow priest was murdered by this military junta. And so gradually, Oscar Romero starts finding himself, you know, finding out, like, going digging in deeper, like, well, why would he be so willing to die by being a critic of this military government, right? Eventually, he becomes a champion of the poor and the dispossessed. Eventually, his stand resulted in his own death by an assassin's bullet while he was celebrating Mass in March of 1980. I never heard of this man before until I was in seminary. I was getting my doctorate at Southern Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. And a movie came out by that name, Romero. And it was starred Raul Julia. You probably know who Raul Julia is. He played the dad from the Addams Family in that Addams Family movie. But yeah, he did a magnificent job of embodying what Oscar Romero stood for. And it made quite an impact on me in my life while I was studying. So, you know, everything that happens to us in life, everything that happens, it's both a blessing and a curse. We are all at the same time, saints and sinners. And you know, the meaning of our lives is found in how we choose to respond to God's bestowal of sainthood upon us. Now, Oscar Romero, he had to wait quite a few years. It was quite a campaign, but he eventually got beatified. By the way, I think that you only have to do one documented miracle now to get beatified and sainthood. Can anybody confirm that for me with the Roman Catholic Church? Yeah, there used to be two. You used to have two documented miracles. It's down to one now. The invitation, though, that I want us to all experience is that we find meaning for ourselves in our service to those around us. Ultimately, that's what the saints all have in common. So I want to ask us a question. How are we using our sainthood? Okay? We have been set aside by God for something. All saints is the time in the church year when we recontextualize our place in the world. We get to rethink and to reclaim our place in the world as a gift from God for the people in our lives. Ultimately, it's an opportunity for all of us to re-up on our own special gifts and our own influence, because we all have it, no matter how much we want to downplay, oh, I don't have any, I can't do this. There's somewhere we have a deep impact, and it's important that we know what that is. All of us have something powerful to contribute. Your sainthood is not something to be wasted. God has gifted you with something special, something that nobody else has, or nobody else has in the way that it finds its expression in you. What is that for you? Are you willing to let it be expressed in ministry? Are you willing to allow that meaning of your sainthood be expressed as a co-creator with God in this world? Because ultimately, that's who we are. We are God's partners in keeping this world, keeping the chaos out, and maintaining the peace of what God wanted to create in creation. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.